97.5 The Fanatic.
Seven o'clock, 97.5 The Fanatic, broadcasting from the Xfinity studio, only from Comcast. Devon Givens with you until 10. Joe Torti in at 8. It's session time for the 76ers after 41 games, 25-16. Coming off of their loss last night to the Indiana Pacers, 101-95. Their sixth straight loss on the road. Guys, they're 2-6 in their last eight after the Christmas game, which I thought was the most impressive win of the season. Those two wins at the center, those six losses on the road, and in many, many different ways. What is your one main issue with this basketball team after the 41 games? And give us your letter grade for the first half of the season when you guys call in 610-632-0975. Real quick, before we get to Stallworth and everybody else to start things off in this 7 o'clock hour and hear from Connor Thomas as well, the GM-head coach relationship, and I'll be clear on this, and I've talked to you guys for a long time, from my producing days to where I've been able to jump in here and be on regularly, daily, nightly, on the weekend, whatever it might be, and we've talked about this basketball team. You guys know how much I love talking about basketball more than anything. And I just got a tweet from someone, who was it, Philly Sports 4 for 4 podcast, says, I've never heard you this ticked off and disappointed with the Sixers, that you're usually the voice of reason. And I feel like I am still being the voice of reason. I'm just expressing my displeasure of this basketball team because I had held them in such high regard at the start of the year. And he says, you've confirmed for me that it's really time for a change and that Brett isn't going to survive this. And I don't hate, this is him in parentheses, and I don't hate Brett like everyone else. So, Brett Brown, I've given him credit for what he's done the last couple of seasons with the 50-plus wins. 52 when we didn't expect it, the 51, 53, 52 when we didn't expect it, going on pace this year. And those guys came into the season talking about 60 wins, number one seed, and all that. They're not catching Milwaukee. And even then, when they said it, all right, cool, I said. But I also wanted to make it clear that I do not care about the total number of wins except for as long as they are high and you have a one or two seed, preferably number one, and with both of those seeds higher than the Western Conference. So when you're playing in June, game number one, and or game number seven is in Philadelphia. And I know, you say, Devon, well, you got to win those games in a regular season. You can't say you don't care. You know what I mean. The most important thing is the postseason. And they still have 41 games of regular season play. Those rounds, first round, second, Eastern Conference Finals, NBA Finals, 16 total wins to hoist that championship. I know. It's how you get there and how they're getting there. I'm so disappointed in what they've done. So as far as the coach, dating back to the rebuilding years, you guys never know I like that. This is not the conversation I'm trying to get into. I'm just simply pointing out, you know, I was never the biggest fan of Brett Brown. Give him his credit. I have done for what he has done to help turn things around. He was brought in here to do a job. He has done that to a point. Where he's gotten lost is the certain stars that were brought in and how, over the years, dating back, like I've said before, Carter Williams, Noel, Okafor, even Fultz, those types of things, where you've had the accountability become an issue for his star players. For the ones who were supposed to be stars, even though they weren't really stars, Carter Williams, Noel, Okafor, you know what I mean. Now you have two legit stars. One is superstar in Joel Embiid. And the accountability issue is partly because of him, the head coach. Then you go to the X and O's. He was brought in here to fix things, to help turn around, to rebuild this program, as he calls it. I heard Bob Cooney say the same thing. And I've done plenty of shows to hear Bob say it, but I heard him talk about it this morning. Come in, help turn things around. Help build that practice facility and get out of PCOM. No disrespect to PCOM and Mark Cassidy. Great job that they do. It's turn things around to make this a real program again. the organization was going to be real, but make it to be Philadelphia basketball once again, pro basketball. This is partly on him. So if it's ultimately going to be him losing his job, yes, the players are partly responsible, but he also has a hand in it by allowing these things to happen. So when we have a total so far of 7 phone calls and 1, 2, 3, 4 of them are Ben Simmons as the number one reason right now, that's partly because of him. Because Ben Simmons comes in already with that mentality that Connor was talking about with Tone from the Barbershop's point. You have to help change that mentality. You have to hold him accountable for things over the years. So when he says now, shoot a 3-pointer every game and he has not done it since, what are you going to do? That brings me to my James Ennis point from last night. James Ennis is not Lou Williams. James Ennis is not Spencer Dinwiddie. James Ennis is not Tony Allen coming off the bench and shutting people down. But on this team, James Ennis has a certain role on this squad. He did not play a minute last night. In the second half, they went with Raul Neto to give them some points. He gave you 7 in the fourth quarter. Fine. Someone needed to stop Malcolm Brogdon. Someone needed to slow down TJ Warren when Ben Simmons or Josh Richardson were not on those people. Matisse Thybulle did not have a great game last night. I say this because of the accountability thing. And this is partly why veterans in the past, maybe even Jimmy Butler, no, I know for sure Jimmy Butler, has an issue with Brett Brown and the accountability with the young stars. I'm not saying James Ennis needed 35 minutes last night, but you can't tell me there weren't 12 minutes for James Ennis last night at some point in that game to give him on that floor when you've had something that you have pointed out publicly about your star player that you need him to do, and you don't call him out on it. You call him out publicly, he doesn't do it, he still plays his 35 to 40 minutes. For whatever reason, Brett Brown decided he did not want to play James Ennis. Maybe he was a little bit injured and they did not release it, or whatever it might be. This is part of the reason veterans have a problem being here. This is part of the reason why Brett Brown, if they don't get to the NBA Finals or maybe even the Eastern Conference Finals and perform well, will not be here. Because of stuff like this, because of allowing these things to fester over the years. And this has now become part of when we get a phone call that says no trust with the team. He may have lost their voices. I mean, his voice may not be heard anymore. All of that stuff. If Ben Simmons doesn't do what you ask, it's not sit him down for an entire game. It's not sit him down for 30 minutes. It's sitting him down to make a point. Calling him out publicly now, obviously he does not care. What's the only other thing you can do to get to him, possibly, is to embarrass him that way, which is not an embarrassing thing. It's more of a teaching thing. We'll get to the general manager, head coach relationship as we go along. But I had to get that in there as we're talking about it right now. If he loses his job, a lot of it is on him. 610-632-0975. And once again, I said it multiple times in the past, giving him his credit over the years, defended him in some cases. I've never been the biggest fan. There were plenty of conversations we've had when I'm like, you know what, guys, I sit there at the games when there's nobody sitting in press row and I'm sitting there next to the usual suspects that I'm there with. And we look at each other and I'm like, little things, even to how he stands sometimes where I'm breaking him down where I shouldn't be breaking him down. Look how he's standing. Look at his face. Even now when he runs out on the floor, because he has 7 years in the league, and I brought this up last week, and even last night someone brought it up. When he runs out, you guys know how he gets frustrated and he wants to call a timeout and he points to the officials like left and right. Boom. Arms out. Points. Remember how Jason Terry would run out on the floor as a Jet after he made a big three, the other team. That's how Brett Brown is when he calls the timeout. And I'm like, what in the hell is that? My man, I know you're frustrated. Just call the timeout. What is that? But that's just over the years, things that have just bothered me with. And I know that's minor, but that's just stuff from me being around and seeing stuff and hearing things for 7 years now. 610-632-0975. All right, it's your turn again. What is your one main problem with this team after 41 games? And please give us a letter grade as well. 610-632-0975. It's session time with Stallworth in West Philly. What's happening, man?
Yo, DG, what's going on, King?
Let's run it, man.
Man, sheesh. There's so much wrong with this team, bro. There's so much wrong with this team. But if I bring it down to
that's
one
why
thing,
I said I had to ask this question tonight, man. Give me one, and we'll go one. Everywhere else, but give me one main problem.
And I'm going to give you my letter grade. My letter grade is F, believe it or not, F or D minus. And the only reason I would bump it up to a D is because they have a winning record at home.
18-2.
Yeah, so that's why I give them a D. But other than that, it would be an F to me. Because you have too much talent on this team for them to be playing the way that they play. And I think the main reason they play the way they play is because you have a player in Ben Simmons, and he's my main problem, who he has a skill set that some of the skills translate to the point guard position, but he's not a point guard. Because you have some ability or some skills that translate to the point guard position doesn't make you a point guard. And he's not a point guard. He's not a floor general. And I'll give you just two examples to show you that he's not a floor general. And it's not going to happen. It's not like he's going to turn into one and become one with age or with years. Point guards or true floor generals, as you know, man, you play ball. They understand time, situation, matchups. They understand all of that. Maybe not all as soon as they're a rookie, as soon as they step on the floor, but those things grow as they get older. But they understand how to get a bucket for their team, even if they're not the one scoring. Jason Kidd was incredible because he would back down the opposing point guard when he knew he had a mismatch, to the point where the other team would try to double team him, and then he would create for his teammates. Ben had an opportunity to do that in the Mavericks game the other night when he had a 6-foot point guard on him. He didn't back him down. His teammates tried to get him to do that because they gave him the ball like two or three times.
They reset it, yeah.
And he kept what he kept doing, passing right out of it.
And the thing is, when you say it, he does it before the double team. You generally want to do it before the double team gets there. But if they want to show and they're going to commit, let them commit.
Let them commit.
Just make the right pass when you do it, and you're good to go. Now, mismatch.
Or if it's one-on-one, in that situation, they haven't come over at all, start to make your move to the back.
Exactly.
Make them pay for it.
Yep.
He's not aggressive when he's supposed to be aggressive. I'll give you another point in case. When the Toronto game, when it's 4 seconds left in the game and we had an opportunity to make a shot, he didn't know how much time he had on the clock. He didn't know what was going on.
Oh, you're talking about when he got the offensive rebound? Yeah.
Exactly. But he chucked up a 35-foot shot at the basket because he doesn't even understand what's going on. The point guard.
Point guard is supposed to know time and possession.
Yes.
Situation.
Yeah, situation. The point guard is supposed to recognize and know, oh, I got a mismatch over here if I get two passes. A point guard is supposed to think two steps ahead. He's supposed to literally be coaching the other guy. Look, when I pass you this ball, I need you to pass it again because we've got a mismatch on here on the other side. You don't see Ben doing that. And it's because he's been put in a position where people are saying he's a point guard, but he's not. He doesn't have the mentality of a point guard.
That goes to his dad. His dad always put him on those teams since he was a kid and told those coaches, my son's not playing unless he has the ball in his hands because he makes the best decisions.
And here's the other problem. The problem is when you have a player like that who he's not a fully orbed basketball player. And what I mean by that is, you know this, DG. Like when you play, you gotta, if as a player on offense, you gotta go to move if things aren't going right.
Absolutely.
Whether it's a step back jumper, whether it's your back down, spin away, fall away jumper like Jordan and Kobe used to. Tell me Ben's move, that signature move that he makes when he's in trouble. And don't tell me that weak little floater hook thing that he starts to do, because that's so inconsistent because he doesn't know how to really do it well. He doesn't have a move because he hasn't had to develop a move. He's been the most athletic, biggest guy for the most part on the floor most of his career.
Always.
So he can just really just bowl people over, go past them or whatever. Now you're in the NBA and you're going against other professionals who know how to stop you. And that second half, the reason why he wasn't aggressive is because they started yelling, wall, wall, wall. You can hear him. They knew how to stop Ben.
Yeah.
And what happened? Ben shut it down.
That's what it is, man. Listen, great stuff as always, Star Wars. 610-632-0975. 0975. I'll take it back to this before we get back to the phones. Jamil, Ken, Kegler, Anthony, Roy. One open phone line since we got started at 6-610-632-0975. Devon Givens with you until 10. Joe Torti, he will be in the session at 8. Connor Thomas producing the show. Let me go back to January 19th, 2019, Saturday afternoon, 3:30 game. We were all excited for this one. Paul George, Russell Westbrook in town. Afternoon game. Party time. Let's do it. Jimmy Butler, right? All of that. Let's do it. Sixers lose 117-115. Remember how it happened. Jimmy Butler got a steal, got a breakaway, put the team up. Next play, Paul George, fantastic shot from the left wing to drill a three, put them up. Next possession, Sixers get the ball. Ben Simmons, it was kind of like, I'm not even really going to say kind of like the Villanova play where Archie Diacono hit Chris Jenkins for the game winner in 2016 for the national championship, but it was similar in this way. The point guard had an idea of what they were going to do. First of all, that was a play that they had run in practice to do all of that, right? So they knew what they wanted to do. But here, Ben Simmons, guys, if you remember, Jimmy Butler was on the right wing. Ben Simmons is pushing along the right sideline as the clock is running down. He gets to the right wing. I don't remember if it was Paul George, Roberson, or Ferguson. It was two of the three, but Paul George was definitely there. I don't remember who was on Ben Simmons specifically. Andre Roberson may have already been injured. That's why I'm saying Terrence Ferguson might have been the other wing player there. Let's just say it was those four with Simmons and Butler. He pushes it to the right wing, right near the hash. His defender was backing off because he wasn't going to shoot, so he wasn't going to really play him because he's not going to throw up a three. He turns his back, basically hands off shovels to Jimmy Butler with now two people on him. What the hell was that? I remember it was so frustrating. What are you doing? What are you doing? His defender was not defending him. They were waiting for him to make a pass, and he did it the way that he played right into their hands. Now Jimmy Butler has to hoist up a forced three-pointer from the wing to try to win the game when they only needed two, all because he gave up his dribble and is not a threat to shoot the basketball, and the defense knew exactly what they were going to do. Right there. Stallworth just brought up the one where the offensive rebound, 6 seconds against Toronto in Scotiabank Arena, he chases the rebound down, which is great. He throws up a fadeaway three-pointer with 6 seconds left. Then sits on the scoring table while Mark Gasol, full court, over the head pass to Pascal Siakam for a dunk. So again, situational basketball, your point guard, not only do you make the errant three-point, take the errant three, you sit on the scorer's table and don't get back to defend and try it because you don't know what. 610-632-0975. We're in the session. We're here until 10. Joe Torti will be in to calm things down at 8 o'clock. 610-632-0975. We'll hear from Connor Thomas as well. Jamil in Southwest Philly is next in the session. What's up, Mil?
Hey, y'all, Devon.
What's going on, man? Can you turn that down? Man, can you turn that down in the back?
Yeah.
Oh, I almost got a headache now, man.
So the Sixers' problem is they don't have no perimeter offensive players. They don't have nobody that can create, you know, for themselves. To me.
Yeah, I think really, obviously Simmons can do it, but he makes some questionable decisions. And then Josh Richardson is the only one. And the one that can is Trey Burke. He doesn't get enough time to really do anything out there.
Now that I'm hearing people, when I was at the doctor's, I'm hearing the security guards telling me, you know, Simmons for D'Angelo. Why would you do that?
Yeah, I'm not doing that.
Yeah, why would you, you know.
I'm not doing that.
Why would you do something like that?
Yeah, he hasn't proven that he's a winning player either. I'm not doing that.
Right. Where Simmons is a top 20, maybe top 15 player in the league.
Well, he was, it seemed like, on that path a year ago, maybe a year and a half ago. Right now, I would say that he's lucky if he makes the All-Star team this year, but he might make it because his defense is still very good. He's still averaging 15, 8, and 9, so he might sneak in, but I don't see him as that top 20 player right now.
Not right now.
No. Maybe we'll do that going tonight, but no, I don't think so.
If I'm out, I'm looking at a Terrence Ross or a Hardaway Jr., them type players.
Well, you could have probably got them via trade last year, specifically Terrence Ross, before you hit the free agent market. They did not acquire him. Now he has a long-term deal. And I'm certainly not giving up Ben Simmons for those two guys.
No.
Oh, you mean just adding them? Okay, I got you.
Yeah.
I got
Mike
you.
Mike Scott starts. He don't give you nothing.
Yeah, he's been a negative at this point, man. And I hate to say it because I like him coming in. I thought he played well last year. Shot a good clip from three. And right now he can't buy a bucket. Mill, give us a letter grade through the first 41 games, please.
I'll give him a C-.
C-. That seems like the common theme here, Roy. Jamil, thanks for the call. Roy, we get you first on the other side, 610-632-0975. C-minus seems like the one where everyone is going. The highest we've gotten so far is a B for the 76ers. I'm not giving them a B. While 18-2, you give them credit for that. But man, that 7-14 really stings me with how good this team is supposed to be, where they're supposed to be. Frustrating. Let me give you a tweet on the way out. Quick break. Kevin on Twitter at KDK520. A lot of problems. Personnel, coaching, offensive scheme, pick and roll defense, shooting, a closer, a guy who can create his own shot off the bounce, effort, ability to get to the line, road woes. Did I miss anything? Kevin, great tweet. No, you didn't miss anything. You can make a case for all of those things, unfortunately. And maybe someone on the phones feels that way and want to say some of those things and break things down a little more in detail and give your grade as well. 610-632-0975. We're in our session a little early in the season, 4-1, but felt it was appropriate for 41 games in the books, halfway, midway point of the season. And we're asking you, what is your main problem with this team after the 41 games, along with your letter grade? 610-632-0975. Session time, guys. Roy, you start us off on the other side right here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The Fanatic.
The Fanatic. Oh, man. Just had a quick session here with Connor Thomas and Joe Torti during the break. Joe will be in at 8 o'clock. 7 o'clock hours brought to you by Club Risque, the Delaware Valley's premier gentlemen's club with three locations, Philly, Bristol, and Northeast Philadelphia. For more information, visit clubrisque.com. 610-632-0975. Having our early season session. Normally we do these late in the year, postseason. Nope, we're doing it after 41. And we continue that with Roy. We'll get some good stuff with Joe when we come up at 8 o'clock. We're going to spend 8 o'clock until 10 together. So get ready, guys. Session time with Joe in here as well. Let's go to Roy on the cell, who's in the session next. What's going on, Roy?
Hey, brother. What's going on, man?
Ah, hello. Breaking it down, man. Breaking it down.
First and foremost, I want to say thank you. You make my commute home a million times better, brother.
Ah, I appreciate that. Thank you, man.
Secondly, I retract the statement I said earlier. I said I blame Ben. I'm not going to say I blame Ben. I'm going to say I put the blame on both. Brett and Ben, for one. I don't know why Ben doesn't want to see, I don't know why he doesn't want to step up to the next level. Maybe he thinks we're all crazy and he's just stuck in his own little world and he thinks to himself, look, I'm already great.
Yeah.
I don't need to progress. I'm already at the top of my level, which to us, we're like, no. Why not want to be like Jordan? Why not want your name in that kind of status bracket? Secondly, I'm going to say it is a little bit of breath. Why not be? Look what Steve Kerr did for Golden State. So with that being said, I say bench Ben for a couple because I'm sick of seeing the free throws and the three-point arc shots pregame looking like he got it. But in the game, he doesn't do any of it. And as for Brett, bro, I think it is about that time. With all due respect, God bless the man. He did everything he can for this squad. And I commend him. But it's time for change. So I don't know. It's just I'm at the point that, dude, I don't even want to watch the games too much because I know what I'm going to look at. I know what I'm going to see.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Not saying it's
or at least watch the home games.
That's a fact. That's 100% fact.
Man.
That's a fact.
It's a shame, man, because so much promise coming into this season and so much to look up to with this squad and say that they are going to be one of the forces in the Eastern Conference. And right now, man, they have been that at home and not so much on the road.
Even worse on the road.
Yeah, I was saying this to Joe during the break, Roy. If you look at Milwaukee, I'll give you the top five teams in the Eastern Conference road records. All right? Bucks 17-4, Celtics 11-8, Miami 10-11, Toronto 11-7, Indiana 9-10.
Yep.
Here's the Sixers and who they keep their company with. Sixers 7-14, Orlando 6-13, Brooklyn 7-12.
The worst team in the NBA, bro.
Charlotte 8-15, Chicago 7-13, Detroit 6-14, Cleveland 6-14. That's the company that you keep when you hit the road. You are not supposed to be in that category.
Nah, not at all, brother.
At all. Unless
with the talent we have.
Unless we had them all wrong.
That I said that earlier. What if maybe it's just me? Please don't take this the wrong way. What if Ben is at his cap? What if?
That's not good.
That is cat.
Not good.
Yo, he's only what, 21? About to turn 22?
No, he's 23.
12, I'm sorry, 23.
Yeah.
How long has he been on this squad? Let's say 4 years.
Four years,
correct. What if, bro, like I said it earlier, you can't blame it solely on Brett Brown, dude. He can only do so much.
No, he gets his blame because of how he has treated things with kid gloves, with the accountability and all of that stuff. Real fast, man. Ben Simmons is 23. He'll be 24 in July. What's your letter grade for the first 41, Roy?
C-.
And that's the common one. Thanks for calling, man. Appreciate the kind words. Thanks so much for listening during your drive home. I'm glad we can help out in any way that we can. 610-632-0975. Spider in South Philly, my man, in the session next on the Fanatic. What's up, Spider?
I'm good, Divine. What's up with you, bro?
Oh, man. Trying to get through it.
Hey, man, that's going to be hard to do.
All right, man. What's the number one issue you have with this team?
Ben Simmons. He's the number one issue. Brett is the 1B. You know, Ben is 1A, Brett is 1B. And my thing with Brett is this. He's been here for a long time. We gave him his chance or whatever. But, you know, the process is, well, it ain't over because we ain't won a championship yet. But, you know, Brett, he not for these guys. These guys ain't listening to him no more. And Ben Simmons, like I said, man, he doesn't have any heart. He don't want to shoot. He have all the skills. You just choose not to display him. And people on your team know that. Like, I've had that conversation with you before.
Yes.
You know when somebody on your team sandbagging, it's not going to go well with the team. And that probably comes into play with chemistry and all that kind of stuff, man. Like, he thinks he's arrived. And that's our fault, he thinks that. Because of how some of you guys be on the radio, y'all give him all the outs.
he can do no wrong. You know, and he hears that, and he hears it from us too. So he thinks he's arrived already, and we can't do nothing with that. We need to send him off. Everybody call me crazy, but I take Russell Westbrook for him. What can he do that Russell Westbrook can't do?
Yeah, defensively, he's far superior than Russell Westbrook, and that's the one thing.
Man, listen, I take Westbrook over him.
No,
right
you
now.
Just said give you one that's thing. I just gave you one thing.
Yeah, all right, that's cool. But Russell Westbrook plays defense also too.
He doesn't. He plays passing lanes.
Well, man, it worked good enough. I mean, he gets steals. He doing more. Listen, I take that defensive drop off to get me some buckets or to get me some body that's going to get to the hole, create something for somebody else instead of
no. And listen, I understand that because you have other things there that can make up for the defensive effort on the floor at that point. I understand that. I get it. And that unfortunately, that's where we are to have this type of conversation, and we shouldn't be. We should let a grade for us to aspire. we shouldn't be. Not at this point. What's your letter grade?
Oh, I give him a D minus, man. We got too much talent to lose to the teams we lose to.
You said D minus?
A D minus.
Wow.
Yes.
Jeez.
A D minus, yeah.
All right. You got it, man. Listen, always good to hear from you, man.
Always good to be
appreciate you jumping in on the session, man. 610-632-0975. A D minus. Jeez. Kenny in Sicklerville, man. You're next in the session. What's up, Ken?
Hey, Devon, what's going on, man?
Oh, trying to talk it through with everybody, man.
Yeah, man. Don't stress yourself out. Real quick, the biggest issue with the Sixers, I would have to say, is the coach. You summed it up pretty good earlier in the show. He doesn't hold these players accountable, especially Ben Simmons. There's no way that a guy with that type of God-given ability, talent, won't shoot the ball. I mean, like, he just refuses to take open jumpers. I'm not even talking about the contested ones. I'm talking about an open 18-foot jumper. And to me, I feel as though, like, the coaches, whatever message he's preaching, whatever buttons he's pushing, is not working. I mean, I give him props for what he did, helping us get to the point we are right now from where we were, but sometimes it's just a change has to be made. It's like you played sports before. Anybody who played sports even had a job. You got bosses and coaches and some, like, you're just not trying to hear what they have to say. It goes in one ear and out the other.
Yeah, yep. At some point, you're like, whatever. Yeah, whatever.
Right. Like, just like, and you know there's no consequences for what's going on, so you're just going to keep doing your thing. I'm not saying bench him or nothing like that because that would be foolish, but for a player with his ability and his talent to go scoreless in the fourth quarter, come on, man. And not take open jumpers. Like I said, I'm not saying bench him. Call a timeout. Sit his butt down for a little bit. He doesn't want to do what you need him to do. You have to send the message to him and everybody else.
Yeah, but Ken, is it too late?
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, it's probably too late. You had to do this in year two when he was on the floor for his first time.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Now it's like,
oh, I'm not going to get benched for that? Okay.
Right. And he's feeling himself because he does produce, but he could be so much better.
Yeah,
like
he can.
I just think the message is stale. Brett Brown's voice in the room, I don't think it's strong enough. Like you said before, the problem that Jimmy Butler had about accountability, I don't think he's holding these kids accountable for what they're doing. Like, we shouldn't be in this position. Our record, the type of talent that's on that team, that record is kind of embarrassing.
Yeah, it is embarrassing. What's the letter grade for you, Ken?
I was going to say C minus, but you know what? I'm gonna do what they do. You know, finish on your work. I give them an I, incomplete.
An I? All right. We'll go with the incomplete on that one, Ken. Thanks for the call, man. Have a great night. 610-632-0975. Kegler, Anthony. Anthony from Baltimore as well. Tony, Thomas, and you. 610-632-0975. We're in our session early in the season after 41 games. What's your main problem with the 76ers halfway through the season plus your letter grade? 610-632-0975. Devon Givens until 10. Joe Torti in at 8. Connor Thomas producing the show. We'll hear from him on the other side right here in 97.5 The Fanatic.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
746, 97.5 The Fanatic. Session time. Sixers, 41 games in, 25-16. Sporting that record in the sixth spot in the Eastern Conference. Unacceptable for me, and it seems for a lot of you guys as well, as we ask the question, what's the one main problem you have for this team after 41 games? And to also give your letter grade with this squad so far through the season. 610-632-0975. Kegler, hang on 1 second. Connor, your letter grade first. Connor Thomas.
Yeah, so I got to give the team a C. I'm sticking where everyone else has been. Looking at the season in a vacuum, on pace for 50 wins, it's not the worst thing in the world, but with the expectations with this team, it's just unacceptable where they're at this point.
Yeah, still is. It still is a problem because 50, I don't care. I don't care about 50. Yeah, I don't care about that because 50 is not going to get you a top two seed. And 50, you've lost too many with those 32 games that you lost, how you lost them, and how many of them are going to be on the road. So for me, that's still an issue for this team. It is. And they have to be better on the road. Elton Brand, I'm sure, will do something by the trade deadline, February the 6th. Guard play, wing play, shooting, someone who can dribble and get to the basket. That's what I'm guessing they do. That's what I'm guessing they do. But a C for you. Okay. That seems like the average right now for a lot of people. C. Let's go to Kegler and West Philly next in the session. What's going on, Kegler?
Divine, divine, divine. I'm like a man who is expecting a baby. I'm pacing in the hall. I'm
going to
hold on the way for you.
My bad, man.
All right, no, put your seatbelt on and here we go.
Let's go.
All right, first of all these people must have went to public school giving out these grades. I'm giving them a Catholic school F,
ooh,
period.
With the red pen.
Exactly.
Red
with
marker.
With the circle around it.
Wow.
Okay. So, first of all, a couple things. Stop with he's so young, Ben Simmons. The whole league is young. Number two. Stop with saying this is a defensive team. You're 25-16, 7-16, or whatever it is on the road.
7-14.
7-14 on the road. You're not that defensive team. You are what your records say you are. You're average. Number two, three, you gave out the point a minute ago who we hold company with in terms of road records. And when you look at only 41 games left, okay, you got about 21 games to turn this thing around, which you will have to do without Embiid, which means 14 of them, as you just said, are going to come before the All-Star break. All right? So the thing is, this team probably most likely will not move probably past the seed that they're in, sixth or fifth. And the reason I say that is because the teams that are ahead of them, one, they got some players coming back, which means they're going to get better, i.e. Indiana with Oladipo.
Yes.
They're going to get better. And our bench is no better than it was last year, nor is this team better. And the reason I say all of that is because Jimmy's gone, which means they're probably not going to move up that far. Because after that 21st game going into these 41, your team starts to shorten their rotation. Brett doesn't even know what a rotation is. And in terms of the relationship between the GM and the coach,
yes,
they're both enablers of each other. Brett keeps letting the GM bring in these players so Brett can continue to say, well, they haven't played together. Shut up, Brett. I'm sick of it. A lot of these teams add players, and they make it work.
I gave them all out. Milwaukee, okay. Boston, Toronto, right. Miami, Indiana.
And Brett enables the GM, because the GM is going to go out here and get some player who's not going to develop here. He's not going to be the shooter because we don't have any assets to really get anybody that's going to make a difference. So leave it as it is, because this crap is what it is. Let them play it out. I'm sick and tired of it. And Embiid, and nobody's talking about you tonight, but you're soft too. You need to take every five times down the court, three times, get your big butt under the basket. The other two, you can hang out at the wing and take a breath. And finally, I'm going to leave you with an out-of-the-box coaching suggestion, because Brett is gone. All right, you ready for
hold on, hold on. Before you say it, when is he gone? End season or at end of season?
He's going to go at the end of the season.
I agree with you. I don't think he's going to, yep.
But this one for you. Since you're so much of a defensive team, I'm going to bring in my bench coach, not my head coach. My bench coach is going to be Thibodeau, all right? Number two, and you're ready for my out-of-the-box head coach because he's coming with some subliminal messages. You ready?
Yes.
Ready for this?
Yes.
Kobe Bryant.
Yeah, I don't think he wants to do that. I think he wants to coach his daughters. Kegler, great stuff, man. Listen, that was a great call. Entertaining, fun. I'm glad you were able to pace and get that all out. Kobe Bryant is not going to coach. I don't believe so. Now, I will say this, because they've gone out of the box in the past, and I don't remember this being reported and stuff too much, but I remember when they were looking, Brett Brown, of course, being the one that took the job, there were some other names out there that people probably didn't really know that were at least approached about the head coaching job. One example, how about Grant Hill? Yeah, how about that? Yeah, let's go to Thomas and Alani next. Man, Kegler was on fire. He gave him an F with the, you know, when you were in school and all your grades came back in like a black marker or black pen, blue, something like that. When they gave you, when you saw that red on your paper, you were like, oh man, I gotta show this to my mom. Dang. Yeah, Kegler just gave them an F. Big fat red F. One of my teachers used to say that. Big fat red F. This is great. Let's go to Thomas and Alani next in the session. What's up, Tom?
What's up, Devon? Long time, brother.
Good to hear from you, man. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you, brother. First, the number one problem we have here is Brett Brown.
All right.
There's no way that with this much talent on this team for us to be in sixth place. You have Miami, who has Jimmy Butler and a bunch of rookies.
Doesn't it seem like that? Yeah, Tyler Herro, Kendrick Nunn, you never heard of him. Bam Adebayo was blossoming. Duncan Robinson, nobody even knows that he played for Michigan because he was started out at D3 school. Yep, continue.
How about Boston, who lost Kyrie Irving and Horford?
And Aaron Baines.
And
Marcus Morris.
And Marcus Morris is still rolling. You got Toronto, who lost Kawhi, and still rolling.
Mm-hmm.
We are underachieving. This Sixer team is underachieving. It's Brett Brown, Brett Brown, Brett Brown. Everybody talking about Ben Simmons. If you got a child and your child is acting up, whatever he's doing, don't look at the child, look at the parent. The parent's not disciplining the child to do what he's supposed to do. I'm not saying Ben Simmons is a child.
No, I understand your analogy. Yeah. And you're right. A lot of people, that's exactly how it goes oftentimes.
If you can't get your two superstars to buy into what you're selling, then it's time to go. Bring somebody else in. That's it. That's the bottom line. They're not buying into what Brett Brown is selling. I guarantee you, if we trade Ben Simmons, he goes to another team with a good disciplinary coach, he will do everything he's supposed to, guaranteed.
Yeah. Yep. I got you. Hey, listen, man. We need that grade, though, on your way out, Tom. What you got?
Man, that grade, I got a C-minus right
C-minus,
now.
Yeah.
The only reason why I'm giving them that because they winning in at home.
18-2. Yeah, you can't ignore that. You cannot ignore that. That is the one positive, of course, exactly, of this basketball team. Man, great to hear from you, Tom. Really appreciate the call. Thanks for joining the session. 610-632-0975. John, Rob, Anthony, Tony, Anthony, and you again. 610-632-0975. What is your one issue with this basketball team through 41 games at 25-16, 7-14 on the road, underperforming, underachieving, as we just heard, and some Embiid news on the other side.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.